It's the Fancy Premier League podcast from the Premier League. Today, we're talking VAR, D, and who's the best of Leicester. If you're hungry for some Wolves, we've got the inside view from Molyneux. And we're already planning for our Christmas teams and whether we need Sterling's presence in it. That's all coming up in today's show. Hello, FPL manager. Thanks so much for joining us again. As we enjoy this international break, we're joined by Lee Bonfield of the FPL family.
Hello, James.
Lovely to see you, Lee. Also delighted to be in the presence of Lindsay Hooper again, Premier League reporter and Offside Rule podcaster.
Hello, I'm going to say a bit sheepishly, as I'm on an FPL podcast.
Right. And why? Because of your poor performance with the FPL.
Well, I know that you're dying to point it out, James.
I wasn't actually. We've all been there, Lindsay. Daniel Story's here. Daniel from The Eye and Football 365, etc. And buoyed by a very impressive return over the last two game weeks.
Resurgent, yes.
What's behind that resurgence, Daniel?
Jamie Vardy, mainly. I think he's got me 54 points in the last 4 weeks.
If only I could get
54 points.
Nice. From Vardy, including when I captained him, yeah. So.
Right, that's him. I mean, and beyond Vardy, who I think by now, he's a must-have, is that right? Would we all agree?
I think he is. I don't have him yet, but I do think he's a must-have.
Are you going to be bringing him in over the international
I've
break?
I've got two free transfers. I'm pretty sure that one of them is going to be Jamie Vardy. Yeah, he's hurting my rank too much not to have him.
I'm the same. Looking at Leicester's fixtures and what they've got coming up, you think you've got to get him in.
I think right.
But I don't have him yet either.
And how, I mean, do you stop with Vardy or are you a triple Leicester person now? Are they that good, Daniel, that you need to get three players?
I think it's triple Leicester, and I think it's triple Leicester in terms of one defender, one midfielder, one forward, because they're doing everything right. It's not that they're just scoring goals. You know, they're keeping clean sheets, they're creating chances. So,
right.
Yeah, I think you're...
Who would your three be?
My three are Vardy, Maddison and Pereira.
Okay.
I think there's an argument between Pereira and Söyüncü probably, but yeah.
Right. Okay, Lee?
So I'm going to bring in one more this game week, but I already have two. So I have Maddison right now, and the way that he's creating from corners and set pieces.
Right.
I wouldn't say he's a must-have. There's a lot of other options in that Leicester midfield, but I really like having him in my side. I have Söyüncü at the back as well. Yep. I just think he's a really nice value pick. If you've got the extra money, then Chilwell or Pereira for sure, but I like Söyüncü. And then, Vardy this week is in, I think.
Vardy. Lindsay?
I have two as well. So I have Chilwell and I have Tielemans. And then I'm thinking of now bringing Vardy as well. So I would tick the boxes that Daniel suggested of one in defence, one in midfield and one up front.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I've got a surprise left field, not literally, but Leicester pick, which I'm going to be dropping later on. Stand by for that, fancy manager. What other big lessons were there to be drawn from game week 12? Well, Wolves are coming good.
They are.
Lindsay, and you've got Jimenez in your side. You've had back-to-back 9-point returns.
I have had Jimenez in my side since game week one.
Wow.
Which has seen me have some weeks where I haven't done so well with him. I think there were about three back-to-back where he got about 2 points, where I shouldn't have persisted. But the last couple of game weeks, he's done really well in terms of return for me. The thing that I would suggest is that Jimenez in a Wolves side, if he scores, tends to do really well with bonus points.
Okay.
So I got all three this week just gone, which gave me 9 for Jimenez, my best performer in my team of 51 points.
You follow Wolves a lot. Are they back? Should we be investing now in Wolverhampton Wanderers?
I think if you're talking about Leicester and their fixtures coming up, Wolves equally have got a really good run. I know that there is the Europa League as well that they've been contending with. But what you do know with Nuno is that he doesn't tend to rotate players for the sake of it. So if you stick with some of the, what I would call marquee names, the likelihood is they are going to get Premier League minutes. The only question mark is if you're thinking of Cotrone, I guess, because he comes in and out of the side. There's not enough consistency there. But there are some other suggestions that I will definitely be coming to regarding Wolves.
Ooh.
And maybe, you know, Rui Patricio being one of them in goal, because, you know, in terms of clean sheets, there aren't that many goalkeepers keeping
him. Yeah, he's not getting any. I brought him in. He's not getting
any. Oh, really?
You're
saying no, don't do that.
No. If you're going to get a goalkeeper, and if I was picking a goalkeeper again now, do you know who I'd go?
Ramsdale or somebody like that?
No.
I think Kasper Schmeichel looks
pretty
good.
Well,
yeah,
no, that's an interesting shout, except he does take up a valuable Leicester slot.
True.
I would go Ben Foster. No team has had more clean sheets in the last five game weeks than Watford. That's right, Watford. 3 clean sheets, and he's their keeper. He almost scored the other day as well. Remarkable.
No, and apart from the result against City...
Yeah, apart from that.
He's actually... You know, Watford were getting draws. They weren't getting hammered.
4.8 million, by the way, if you're thinking Very shrewd, James.
That is the theme of the Premier League season, is the lack of clean sheets by the big clubs. Watford have kept more than Liverpool this season. So it doesn't matter that they're towards the bottom of the league. In terms of fantasy points, the clean sheet bonuses are brilliant to pick up. So yeah, Foster's a good shout, I think.
I do think Kike Sanchez Flores has come in with absolutely a remit to tighten them up at the back. They're not scoring a lot of goals right now, but I don't see that. I don't think they see that as a concern. The key concern for him is we are shipping loads of goals. We've got to tighten up. So I do think Ben Foster's a nice shrewd pick, James. I'll give you that one.
Okay, I don't have him in my team.
Well, here's one that you might want to put in your team. Okay. Daryl Yanmat, have a look at him. So not so big on defending always, Yanmat. Likes to sort of bomb forward all the time, but as an FPL asset, that's what we like. We like defenders that get forward.
All right. Do we like Man City players anymore, Lee? We all watched the game on Sunday. Once again, anyone who captained, who handed the armband to valuable City assets will have seen their hopes crushed by another disappointing performance. It's just so much money to have invested in players who, under many optics, produce the numbers, but not in FPL terms.
It's getting tougher, isn't it? It's getting tougher. I have Sterling and De Bruyne both in my team, and it's getting tough to justify having both of them. I look at Sterling's underlying stats. He's still having lots of touches in the box. They're not necessarily turning into shots on target, though, so there's a bit of a concern there about, well, he's getting into those areas, but he's not doing a lot. He's not being very efficient when he gets there. And when I look at Kevin De Bruyne, certainly from an eye test perspective, he's been sitting back over the last sort of 2 to 3 weeks. So it gives me some comfort that Rodri is back. So I expect to see Kevin De Bruyne bombing on again and getting into those positions that we loved seeing him in a few weeks ago. And as I said, Sterling's underlying stats still look pretty good. So I think one of them's got to go because I need to make some money for the Vardy transfer. I just don't know which one yet.
It does feel a little bit like total heresy to talk about selling players like this. But in this season, is this the big lesson of the campaign so far? You just don't need the high price players anymore.
Yeah, they just aren't worth the extra value. Well, I've had a good few weeks after a really bad start, and I now have no Manchester City players in my team and didn't for this weekend. I had, at one point, I had Aguero, I had Bernardo Silva, and I had Riyad Mahrez when he was playing well, but now I have none of them, and the team's got better because you can spend the money better elsewhere.
But I bet you're really nervous at the start of every Man City match.
Yeah, I am indeed, yeah. Right. Looking through the league and seeing Sterling captain on everyone, yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Lindsay? Have you got... Are you going to get
I've
rid?
I've persisted with Sterling, and he's the one that I've kept hold of. I have got Edison, who didn't play in goal because he was great for getting the occasional assist as well, which is ridiculous, isn't it? But when that happens, you think, yeah, if you're picking those extra points. But I am down to just Sterling now because I got rid of... I think I had Bernardo Silva at the beginning of the campaign. He was one that I got rid of and then did brilliantly the week after. And I flirted with Aguero for a little bit, and then... He's so unpredictable as to whether he's going to play or whether Pep's going to play him. But I do get nervous, like you suggest, because you think, well, Aguero's now going to get a hat-trick. And if I take Sterling out, then I'll be dead cert that he'll get three assists or three goals.
Two things as well to mention on Man City. One is the fact that Bernardo Silva is actually going to be suspended for the next game week. And the other is that Man City do have quite tough fixtures. I think previously we've always considered them fixture-proof. But I'm not sure that we would.
No, Liverpool are the new Manchester City in terms of fixture proofing, I think, because if you look at the standard of fixtures Liverpool have had, it's been far tougher than Manchester City's, and it's about to get easier. So I think Liverpool now move into that, particularly the fullbacks. You know, they aren't keeping clean sheets, but when your fullbacks are picking up pretty much at least an assist between them every game, they do become fixture-proof.
All right. One last question for now before we move on to some of the issues that you've raised, listener. And this is from Lindsay, who wants to know if she should get rid of Firmino. What do we think, people?
Getting rid of Firmino, Lindsay?
Well,
sure.
See, there was an excitement around him this season. Yeah. And I definitely cashed in on that, got him in my team, because it felt that we know that he's not the most selfish striker. But it felt that the link-up play and what he brings to Mane and Salah is that he was going to carry on getting quite a few assists, if not a goal, occasionally. Yeah. So it was quite a good bet to go in when I didn't have enough money for Salah or Mane left. However, he's really not giving me the return that I would want. And he's not even getting the assist because, like Daniel said, they're coming from the fullback area. So should I persist or should I get rid?
I think up front there are at least three really nice picks in Abraham and Vardy and Jimenez right now. And if you look at the four-man fixture tables which we all look at as FPL managers, all three of those really coming together nicely from a form of fixtures perspective. So I'm with you. I'm not sure I necessarily see a space for Firmino in our FPL sides right now. What I will say is the Liverpool fixtures do look really nice, as James alluded to, going forward between now and Christmas. And also Firmino, just historically, and this is fairly anecdotal, but he tends to come good around Christmas. He's a streaky sort of player. And in the previous two Christmas periods we had, when the Liverpool fixtures start to really, you know, there's loads of games to play for that Christmas period, he's one of those naturally fit players that that Klopp likes to play week in, week out. So I think you might be being a little bit hasty, but I can see why you'd consider getting him out.
Maybe hold on to him for a few more weeks.
Yeah, the only doubt with Liverpool and Firmino and otherwise is the amount of games they've got coming up, because obviously they have got the Club World Cup.
Right.
They've got the Aston Villa debacle where they're going to be playing two games in 48 hours. And I think there is a chance for particularly easier home games that he might do some rotation.
Right. So you've got two issues there. One is the games that they've got, which is loads of them. And the other one is the game that they haven't got, because over the Christmas period, great as Firmino's form might be, Liverpool are going to be dropping a fixture, the West Ham game, which has been postponed to a date still to be determined. Crikey. Firmino, by the way, hasn't returned more than 2 points since game week 6. After this, listener, we'll be addressing your answers to our Wednesday tweet. How will you look to prepare your team for the busy Christmas schedule? So our question was, inviting answers on the hashtag FPLpod, how will you look to prepare your team for the busy Christmas schedule? Some very interesting responses here. Tomek gives a pretty full answer. Festive fixtures is usually the time when people go crazy with hits and unnecessary rush transfers, says Tomek. After a not-so-good start, I've decided to take it easy. Maximum one transfer per game week. No hits, no nervous movements. Patience is the key. That's almost a blueprint for the season, isn't it?
Yeah, there are. But there are so many games over the course of the Christmas period, James, and therefore so many transfers that are given to us every sort of 3 or 4 days. It's hard to keep them in your pocket.
Do you get more injuries at this time of year? Because the
You
weather.
Certainly get more rotation.
Right.
And I think my tactic has always been to focus, if you are bringing in a player, make sure they're one of the marquee players at their club. Because if let's use Vardy as the example. Leicester might have a lot of games and Brendan Rodgers might, well, rest players like Ayoze Perez or even Yuri Tielemans or Maddison, but he won't rest Vardy. So make sure you've got those players in your team who are very unlikely to get rotated out, I would say.
And to that end, I think it's, you know, go back to the Liverpool conversation, it's going to be very, very hard to pick those Liverpool players. There's no game week 18, we know that. But even around that, there's so many fixtures, it's going to be hard. There's going to be lots of rotation.
And taking that even further, you want to pick teams that have got really short squads. So I would say go for someone like, you know, McNeil at Burnley, who could potentially get quite a few points during this period, and you know that they're going to play.
McNeil of Burnley. All right, we'll talk more about him a little bit later on. Marcin, meantime, says, double up on Sheffield United defence for Christmas. Their fixtures are incredible. Is it true? Are their fixtures incredible?
Yes, they are. The only doubt I have with Sheffield United is that they have been brilliant against bigger clubs because they can sit behind the ball to an extent. When the onus is on them to attack, it'll be interesting to see if the makeup of the team changes and they sort of changes aside.
More listeners' Christmas plans. Magnus, his approach to the festive period is remove all Arsenal players. Lee?
Not sure, actually. No, I think given that they've got Southampton at home and then Norwich away, and then actually a decent-looking game against Brighton at home, I wouldn't be too hasty to get rid of your Arsenal assets, despite the fact that they're really out of form.
Right, and which Arsenal players? Three names?
I'm not sure I can even stretch to three, to be honest, James, given the form, but Aubameyang for sure, I think.
Even with the current issues.
So well, this is it, isn't it? You're right.
There's this, like, I'll say what I want when I want to Arsenal fan TV.
There are problems there. There's no doubt. I think if you wanted to be uber differential, you could look at somebody like Lacazette, who's not got a lot of... I don't think he's very highly owned. So if you wanted to move up the ranks over the next 3 weeks in the short term, maybe have a look at him. But yeah, even that's why I hesitated when I said Aubameyang, because you're right, Lindsay, it's still... There's some doubt there. And given that I've already spoken about the three assets that I think we'd all be looking at in Abraham and Vardy and Jimenez, in the same way that you're struggling to find a place for Firmino, I think I'd be struggling to find a place for him too.
Just on the subject of Lacazette, numbers-wise, 3 weeks ago, 5 points. The week after, 4 points. This weekend, 2 points, but he's only owned by 1.7%. And of course, he's coming back in to the picture now.
Yeah, I mean, and the other, you know, the alarm bell ringing about Arsenal, or the potential alarm for players, is what happens with a manager, because we are now entering typical, usual managerial sacking season, and that can cause a bounce in the team. You can very easily see that if Emery was to be moved aside in the next couple of weeks, that suddenly those Arsenal players begin to look attractive again if they feel like they've got a new start under a new manager.
Right. Mm. A few more tips from listeners. Jason says, put out the cookies and milk and hope for the best, which is probably the soundest advice you'll get on the show. FPL Experience says, did you guys know that Santa Claus in Finnish is Joulupukki? Lindsay, is that true?
I've got no idea. You've come to the wrong person for languages. But right, what I would say about Pukki is it'll be interesting after this European international break to see if he's scored again for Finland, because his stats for Finland have been really good. But Norwich have been on one downward trend. So it's difficult to know whether that's going to translate then in the Premier League.
Topical, James, for that question. You'll know that Santa Claus FC is a football club from Finland.
Brilliant. Pukki, after the international break, has two tough fixtures, but it is true that on the 26th of December, they are taking on Aston Villa, so maybe, could be. Anyway, if you'd like to send us a question, then hashtag FPLpod is the way to do it. After this, we're having a look at your essential differentials. We're looking for low ownership players with high potential returns who we think are going to perform well between now and Christmas, kind of the next six game weeks. And also, do we bring people in immediately because we're worried about price rises, especially when this podcast gets out? Or is the spectre of an international injury hanging over our decisions and we're going to wait till everyone gets safely home? Let's start with you, Lindsay. Who are you looking to get in, first of all?
First, what I'm going to do is be generous. Oh. It's that time of year, isn't it? It's Christmas. I haven't been doing so great myself, but one of the players that I have had for the last few game weeks is Moutinho at Wolves.
Okay.
Now, yeah. Wolves have got a really good fixture list coming up over the Christmas period, and he has got three assists recently. He got two in the game against Manchester City, one against Aston Villa, and he always looks like it's going to be a set piece or corner delivery that he'll be taking nowadays. It used to vary up a little bit. Neves, we know, can take the odd free kick and score an absolute screamer from them. But just because I'm there a lot, I have noticed that Moutinho is the one stepping up. So I would pass that on in a very generous way, because he was probably my only differential that I had in my team.
I like that. I equally like, Wolves in general, right? We've been talking before about they're finding their rhythm now after a bit of a blip early season. So I think if you looked elsewhere in that midfield at players like Adama Traore, I think he has looked fantastic in the last couple of weeks.
And cheap. Isn't he something like 5.2 or something?
Okay, so Traore is 5.2 million. You're absolutely right. His ownership is 4.3%. That fellow Moutinho, Lindsay, you're one of only 3.8% of managers who have Moutinho, and his price is fractionally higher than Traore, 5.3. So... interesting. You tempted, Daniel?
No.
All right, then. Who is it you think we should be looking at?
Thanks, my pick is like Lindsay, it's a present for me because he's already in my team. And we don't need to worry about international break because he's not in the French national team squad, is Anthony Martial.
Right.
Who...
still only 8.7% of ownership.
Still only 7.7 million.
Mm.
Still playing as Manchester United's recognised number nine.
Right.
And class as a midfielder.
Poof.
And Manchester United have, you know, in the fixture difficulties, they have two ranked fixtures. So the second easiest fixtures. They have Sheffield United, they have Aston Villa, they have Everton, they have Watford and they have Newcastle, all before Boxing Day. So right. I think him playing as a number nine with Rashford off him is absolutely brilliant. He didn't even score at the weekend, but he's still got 10 points for his two assists. So he's showing he can create as well.
They get the best out of each other, don't they? Yeah. Martial and Rashford, when they're together... they tend to both get FPL points, actually, either goals or assists.
7.7 million, I think that's a steal.
Lindsay, you were mentioning Dwight McNeil before. Clint on Twitter agrees with you. Clint says...
oh, good on Clint.
Dwight McNeil seems like an underrated differential. Only 6 million from Burnley. And you know his ownership is 0.9%. And if you look at the points, he's been averaging 5 points a week, which is very, for the last month or so, is very impressive indeed.
Yeah, I do get surprised that not more Burnley players get mentioned when I listen in, because I do think that Burnley, pretty solid performers. You know that they're in that midfield area in particular, I think, can return good points.
Okay, all right. Dwight McNeil, is that someone you're looking at? Lee, Dan?
Yeah, I think he's... when I talked again about marquee players, there's such a reliance on him to be the creative influence that... and he's young, that I think he will play whenever he can, despite the fixture list because they rely upon him. They rely upon him taking the ball forward.
What I like about him is his creativity for the front two. So if I was going to pick a Burnley player for my FPL team, I think it would be Wood or Barnes. I don't think I'd go McNeil, but he's a differential. So if you wanted to, goodness me, I'm about to say double up on Burnley. If you wanted to double up on Burnley, maybe you'd have a look.
All right. Excellent. We are almost a third of the way through the season, so we're going to finish off today in a second by having a look at who have been the best and worst picks of the campaign so far. Right then, 12 game weeks into this campaign. When you look back on your team from game week one, oh my word. If we'd known then what we know now, Lindsay.
Don't look at me so much.
Well, you know, I'm looking at my own team. I just had a disaster.
The thing is, we flip-flopped, but every time I come in and do this, you're above me in the table.
I don't know how, because when you look at my team from the first game week, I made so many wrong calls, and they all seemed so right at the time. I'm sure, listening, you probably had similar experiences. I had Alisson, that wasn't my fault, didn't work out. It meant that I was kind of already putting out that far as opposed to addressing the other issues in my team. And there were plenty of them. I'd gone for Ross Barkley in midfield.
Oh, yeah. Ouch.
Above all, I'd gone for Kurt Zouma. Kurt Zouma, who got 1 point, a total of 1 point from the first five game weeks. Because he started off with a minus
five?
Two. Then he had a 2 point return, which I had him on the bench for, naturally.
And then he got sent off. Didn't
he was getting minus points every week. It was just disastrous. My good move, I would say, from the season so far would be I was a reasonably early adopter of Tomori. And he's been a wonderful asset at the back, out of Chelsea, of course. What's been your worst pick, Lindsay?
Ceballos from Arsenal.
Oh, yeah.
I got so excited about him as a prospect. I felt like he was a player that I'd latched on to early.
Yes.
I thought he's going to score goals. He is going to create goals. But in four game weeks, he returned me 6 points.
It's not good, is it?
I shipped him out and I will not be getting him back.
No. Daniel?
I brought in Andrei Yarmolenko for reasons that I can't quite figure out now because I thought he was going to be the answer to West Ham's change of form. But the guy, I think he got 11 points in 4 weeks and I immediately had to use a transfer up to get him back out again. So that
is that your worst transfer of the...
That, my two mistakes...
That sounds like a good one.
My two mistakes are that, and this is quite a crucial one, you'll note, picking a really bad team at the start of the season, which cost me for the first four games. I made my wild card in week three and promptly got 30 points in that game week.
Yeah. No,
so that's bad.
Same. But so when you say you had a terrible team at the start, what was the worst thing about your terrible team? Did you have Zouma?
I had the injuries. So I had Aymeric Laporte, I had De Bruyne who got injured for a bit, I had Hugo Lloris who then got injured for a long time.
Right.
Fabianski, yeah. I had Fabianski.
Yeah.
Nobody really wrong-headed.
No stupid calls.
You didn't have Almiron in your starting
list. I did not, no.
Okay, right. What about you, Lee? Did you pick a Newcastle forward?
No, I haven't, although I'm keeping my eyes on those guys. It feels like you guys have all been quite unlucky with injuries, whereas that's mine was just a really bad pick. I picked Callum Wilson in about game week 6 or 7. He had something like 5 game weeks of back-to-back FPL returns, be them assists or goals, and I thought, well, this guy's going to get in the England squad. This is his season now. And he promptly fell off a cliff, didn't he? Hasn't produced anything
for a while. So that was interesting because at the time, people like your wife, Sam Bonfield, who you're actually only 30 points behind now.
I'm creeping up, James. Yeah, I'm glad you noted that.
Right.
Thank you.
Your word, not mine. So she, I think, was pointing out at the time, he's only had 5 shots all season, which is not great, but they've all gone in, so he's got 5 goals, which does sound great, but yeah, he's kind of regressed to the norm, I guess.
Yeah, you and I have known Sam long enough to know that if you listen to her, you'll do all right in FPL. Yeah.
Apart from the Harry Kane business.
Apart from that, yes.
All right, so those have been the things that haven't worked out. But has there been a moment of just inspiration which has earned you big points? You mentioned before, Lindsay, the fact that you've stuck with Jimenez all the way through, and it looks like you're getting your just returns now.
I think if we gather again post-Christmas, maybe he will be my best pick and that I've persisted with him. There are match weeks, there are about 3 in a row where he maybe should have gone to the bench, and because I'm a Wolves fan, I continued. So I'm going to go with Lundstrom because I was early to that party. Very early to that party. Game week 2 or 3.
Ooh, did anybody have Lundstrom before that?
Same week for me. Game week 3.
It was game
with
week
my
3,
wild card. The only success of that dreadful wild card.
Okay, who else came in on Pookie similarly just after he'd finished doing his business?
I never went for Pookie.
No, nor me.
I had him very, very early doors, and I held on to him for too long is a reality.
Right. Yeah. Sorry, Lindsay, but anyway, back to Lundstrom.
Well, Well, there was the 21-pointer, which has
infamous.
Helped me so much. and I've just been quite consistent at trusting that Sheffield United are going to keep a clean sheet or that they are certainly going to get an assist out of him. And his position is really interesting because he's classed as a defender on FPL, but of course plays more in midfield. Mm. So the assists are more likely to come from there. I think that's been my best, is having him, Alexander-Arnold, in my team, because you know that you get some assists from the back.
Right, and he very nearly got another assist last weekend at Spurs, but you know, the goal then ruled out. What about you, Daniel? What's been your success story?
It's one I've already mentioned. It's getting Jamie Vardy in 4 weeks ago. 54 points in the
count?
Last 4 weeks.
Does that count? I mean, Jamie Vardy.
Yeah, but at the time, I mean, I've had Vardy and Abraham as a strike force for the last 4 weeks together. Mm. And normally when I do that, they were both already in form, I grant you. But normally when I do that, they immediately fall off a cliff. Mm. For some reason this time, they've carried on scoring goals. So good
so
on them both.
A decent choice that hasn't gone wrong is the best you can do.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Lee, what about you?
Well, I spoke before about how I got on Callum Wilson at the wrong time.
Right.
A player that I've got on and off at the right time is John McGinn. I think he's been fantastic value for FPL managers so far this season. Had him early doors, 3 to 4 to 5, fantastic game weeks of returns. And now just as the Villa fixtures are starting to get a bit more difficult and he's dropped out of form a little bit, so he's currently not in my team. But for the time I had him, he was fantastic value. So he'd be one of my best moves.
Do you see him as still being worth the investment?
Yeah, I think so. Given that he's not going to cost you a lot of FPL pounds, I think he's still good value for money.
Right.
Like I said, just keep an eye on those fixtures.
Right. Game week 13 up next after the international break. Of course, next week we'll be previewing the fixtures there. But the fight back is on for Daniel and myself. And the only way is up.
This is my only rivalry, James, is that I want to finish above you.
How many points are there between us?
I think you've got about 10 to 13 on me now.
Really?
Yeah.
Really. Lee, as I mentioned, you're up, you're moving up, and you're, I think, just outside the top 100,000 managers now.
Yes, overranks about 103K, so not too bad.
What's your best ever finish?
Best ever finish was 1,700. But that was some years ago. I think the game is bigger than it is now, but nevertheless, that's still one I'm proud of.
Yeah. Okay.
15 points ahead of me, you are.
15.
Yeah.
That's a game week.
No, I mean, that's a bad game.
Things
week.
Move quickly in Fantasy Premier League. Daniel, what's your best ever finish?
Last season, as you well know, James, thank you for asking. 5,600th, I think, last year.
I thought you meant points. It's like we've got the winner amongst us.
And where are you right now?
Just outside the top 500,000, so it swings and problems.
Certainly is. All right. Well, listener, wherever you are, I do hope you join us again next week, when we will be casting an eye over the Game Week 13 fixtures and all the big moves that you should be doing after the international games. In the meantime, if you're hungry for more FPL content, then check out the FPL Show and FPL FYI. For details on that, head over to PremierLeague.com. For now, though, it's many, many thanks to Lee Bonfield, Lindsay Hooper and Daniel Story. And we'll catch up with you same time next week.